This is Music Respawn. I'm Kate Remington with composer and audio designer Volodymyr Sivin. He's also the founder of Strix Instruments. I really am looking forward to talking with you about your Pripyat piano samples. This sounds like an incredible project, and thank you so much for taking some time to talk about it.
Thanks for having me. I'm thrilled to say more about that project because, you know, it's right now it's like 9 years almost from that idea.
Wow. How did you get the idea in the first place?
Well, that's a hard question. When I was growing and, you know, just going through the puberty, it's that game came out called Stalker.
Right.
And at some point in time, after the years, I managed to join this team to work on that game. And one of the ideas was to record all the sound effects for this game, for the next upcoming, at that time it was Stalker 2. All the sound effects for this game in Chernobyl Exclusion Zone, which is not only you getting the visuals from there, like models, textures, all kinds of stuff, but also all the audio, like footsteps, you know, environment sounds, anything. And at the same time, it was 2012, I got an idea. It was even before that, actually. So, but the company was closed, was shut down in the end of 2011. And since then, the same idea goes to the another project where the same team was, you know, assembled again on the different project called Cervarium. And I just thought, okay, we have a post-apocalyptic world and probably it's going to be nice to have the same idea. Just you go into the Pripyat, for example, and record all the stuff in there. And I thought, okay, I'm going to be in Chernobyl Exclusion Zone. And before that, I started a company that's now called Strix Instruments. And I did like stupidly crazy project. I just actually burned 6 pianos and I shot at them. I just destroyed with the axe, you know, all kinds of things. And while I'm doing it, I think, okay, I'm going into the Pripyat. I have a time there. Let's try what's it's going to be like. So I traveled there. I have the full day. I did the usual recordings. And then I stumble upon the piano. And I record a few notes. And that became a start. So it was 2012. It was November, I think. Yeah, so November 2012. And since then, I did like 25 visits to the Chernobyl Exclusion Zone to recall all the pianos. So yeah, it was quite a journey.
I can imagine. And it's interesting that you mentioned Stalker because that's the only impression I have of what the Exclusion Zone is like, being in that world and playing the game. And I hope there aren't any, you know, irradiated animals. But what is it like there, to just being there?
So first of all, is jungles, mostly in the summer. When you're there in the winter or in the spring, it's actually a more clear vision of how it looks like in actual. So imagine your city that you know and where you live in right now. And in actual 30 years, it's going to be looking like a jungle. You're basically seeing the buildings inside the forest. Like someone built something in the forest. And the trees are actually like 30 meters tall.
Well, yeah, because it's been since 1986. So yeah. Everything's had a long time to grow.
Yeah. And nobody just touched it. You know, no one cleaned the roads. No one just, you know, cleaned the grass. Just left there as it is. They actually did it a few years after that. Because in the first year of the actual disaster, even in the first 2 years, it was a thought that every citizen of the Pripyat city will go back, which is why the liquidators took a layer of soil in the city out. There was an idea to just clean the soil so it's not be, you know, like that irradiated. And nothing happened. And since then, the city is just living jungles. And right now it's really quiet. You don't hear there any birds that you can hear in actual city. You don't have a pigeons or turtle doves, nothing. You have only large scale birds mainly, and you have a lot of animals, which is the Chernobyl exclusion zone right now. Is the No, it's like a zoo, but without any borders for the animals. There's huge population of the wolves. Insanely big. The wolves are not a problem. They don't go out from the Chernobyl exclusion zone mostly. But yeah, that's the one thing you should consider. There's a lot of mooses.
Wow.
Yeah, they just go in through the city. You can go inside and go the through the street and see the moose just laying and chilling there. With the dogs, there's a lot of dogs that are just living there because of the checkpoints. So the city have a checkpoint, so there's the security guards. So they have small dogs. They mostly just grown up, and then at some point probably they was be eaten by wolves like a year before. But yeah,
Wow, sounds like one of the weirdest safari parks you could visit.
you have no idea,
I know.
and there's a lot of radiation there, so you
Yeah.
have to know the paths.
Oh, yeah. Well, so how did you get access to it? Do you have to write in and get permission ahead of time, or can you just go
Yeah,
in?
it's official. You're just getting access by setting up or the government company. You just contacted them by yourself, and they will apply to you a guide, a special guide person, or you just friend up with the someone who knows the exclusion zone, and you same thing, you do it officially. You just making the documents, passport, you just showing the date where you want to come in, and that's it basically. Because you have no way to access the exclusion zone without a checkpoint. The other ways is basically stalkering, which is illegal.
Yeah. So we won't do it that way.
Yeah, so I do it only legal.
Right.
Yeah,
Well,
legally.
how did you find the pianos? Were you able to just go into these spaces and look around for them?
Yeah, from 2014, I believe, or 15, there's becoming a new rule. You cannot enter the buildings at all, which is was forbidden because the city is just in awful condition. The buildings just collapsing itself. So before that, I have the clear access to the buildings. You can actually go inside any apartment that you want, and it was the easy process. You just open the map, you see the building, you go in from the go inside, going from first floor to the top one, going back every apartment, then this next second one, third one, and then you finished. Just when you found the piano, they're not all usable at all, because in a few years later after the accident, the dudes that stole things. They basically rip off the pianos because they need strings for the metal, and they just took the base one, which is the thickest one. And yeah, so some of the pianos just demolished. You don't have the keyboard on it, but some of them are alive. And imagine you're going from the every apartment for the 9-story buildings and going up and down, up and down. Sometimes you found something, sometimes you don't. So the basic mathematics was in the city was actually at the moment of the disaster, it was 26,000 people evacuated. So you can imagine how many apartments in the city. And we just did a basic calculations in terms of how many pianos we actually found in the city and how many we didn't. It's like maybe 100 of them
Wow.
left in the city still that I didn't saw at all. Yeah, so city was a quite popular place for the pianists. I don't know why, but there's or actually was a store when you can rent them. not buy, just rent. And then just they will help you to go up the stairs, you know, just they help you to set it up. And yeah, so
wow,
it's like that.
Well, altogether, you recorded, I guess, 20 different pianos.
20, yeah. It was like more than that, but some of the pianos was for the strings, so 20 for the strings, but not all of them had, you know, interesting sound of the sustain pedal and all kinds of stuff, because I deep sampled that thing as well. Some of the pianos was not playable, but the sustain pedal sounds amazing, which is, yeah.
Wow. So you kind of made a Franken piano sound
with
a composite of all of these different instruments.
Yeah. But you would not hear that they are, you know, actually like different. They sound like one single piano.
It's an amazing sound. It's just so haunting and sad. And I talked with Inan Zur, who used the samples for one of his Fallout soundtracks. And he said the pain that he felt listening to these sounds coming from the pianos, it just really affected him. And so I'm wondering, when you were playing them and sampling them, how did you feel about, you know, hearing these sounds?
First of all, when you enter... The first time I heard the music inside the city, when the city was left by the people, there is like no chance by those pianos to be heard again at all. Like never, because people left this place not because they want it. They have to. There is radiation. So there's a reason why nobody will hear them. So I broke that rule, you know. I helped them. I helped them to be heard again. So when you first hear the that one note, that is just haunting, because some of the pianos had the sustain pedal just broken and all the strings are open. And you, when you hit the key, it's just, you know, vibrating, resonating inside the piano and resonating inside the apartment or whatever. It's amazing. You have a chills instant, you know?
Yeah.
Chills.
Yeah, I can imagine. I really appreciate how you recorded the mechanical sounds of these instruments. A friend of mine who's a pianist described them as a machine because of all of their moving parts. And like any machine, the parts wear out. And so I like that you didn't try to, you know, really make them sound better,
yeah,
better than they really are.
Yeah, so I cleaned it a bit because some of the sounds amazing, but if you want to make actual music with it, it has to be tuned, you know. So I tuned there afterwards, but I left all the quirkiness, all the, you know, rambliness and all kinds of unusual sounds for the piano, which is, for most of the people, it's unusable at all. To hearing that.
How many people went in with you to make these recordings?
2-3 mostly, but all the recordings I did by myself, because from the 2014, there's actually no way you can go inside the building. So we actually did it incognito. And one of us was just outside and be, you know, like a watcher. So nobody will just know that I'm there. Yeah, so I have to record all the stuff. It was so hard because you're recording not only the key, you're recording the velocities, you're recording the round robins. So there are so much samples was you know, recorded from that thing, and you had to cut them in post, and that's just insane. Actually, the recordings was surprisingly well. I didn't almost apply any plugins to, you know, just to remove the noise from the environment.
Well, one thing that it occurred to me, there's probably no power there. There's no electricity there, right? So did you have to bring a backup generator or battery packs to run everything? Or
just basically a few batteries. I used the portable recorder from the Zoom and microphones. So I used the internal microphones that you connect to the recorder and four channels of the external microphones. And phantom power and record.
Wow. You know, I've talked with a couple composers who have worked with orchestras or instrumentalists to build a sample library, and people come at it from different ways to get, you know, the sample that they want. So what did you play on the pianos to get all of these samples? Did you just go note by note, or did you play melodies?
Yeah, so you're playing every note and multiple, you're hitting it differently each time, and you have to be consistent and you're recording the velocities. So I am actually just touching the keys, but in the final product, every composer will hit the keys differently, right? So any composer will just hit it softly or hardly. So I have to think that in advance. So it was not like musical experience where you record and your legs are hurting, your fingers are hurting, because some of the recorders were done in winter. It was actually cold. Some of the apartments have no windows. Yeah. So it's freezing cold, you know. We go in inside and you see the snow on the actual inside the actual apartment. That's rough. There's probably a difference in the sound because of that, when you're in the summer, the wood of the piano is just it's in different condition, I mean, in terms of humidity.
Yeah, it sounds like a pretty rough experience, though, to be there in the wintertime with the snow playing.
Yeah, because in the summer, those apartments are wet inside, actually.
Oh.
Yeah, wow. You have a lot of moss inside. At some point, in some apartments, you will find the grass, trees.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
fern, for example.
Crazy. Inan said one of the things that he really appreciated about the samples is that you recorded the room sound, too, where these pianos were, without them being played. From what I understand, it's just the sound of the rooms, and then you can use that sound, a composer could use that sound, that space, in another way.
Yeah, there's actually more than that. So basic idea was to record not only the pianos, because, okay, the pianos itself, it was nice, but how about to like feeling like you inside those apartments, for example, how you be on the streets of the city, Pripyat, how you be on the tallest hotel floor. So this was recordings of the impulse responses, which is you're bringing, there's a few simple ways. For example, one of them, you can just clap inside environment and record this clap and echo back. You have the sample. And second way, you can bring out the speaker and you play the sine wave. And then you have a software just decode that sound wave in the actual impulse file, which would be a lot cleaner. And the third way is bringing firecrackers.
Oh.
Small ones. And you're just making tiny explosions in there and record this excitement from the environment back. So, for example, I have a lot of impulse responses for that library. It's like 23 of them or 24. There's actually much, much more of them. I just thought that this doesn't make any sense to just pack it inside the library because there's a lot of images, because the interface looked, you have like precise idea how I just want to look at. So some of the environments was enough of a clap or sine wave, but some of them needed a much, much more harsh impulse response. So on open streets, I used the firecrackers, and sometimes it was blank pistol. And some of the recordings was extreme. As you probably know, the Chernobyl Exclusion Zone had the two more reactors under the construction. And after the explosion, there was postponed indefinitely. So there is still a construction site left. And one of the construction sites of the reactor number 5 is actually was almost finished, like maybe 75% till done. And I sneak inside to that place and record the impulse response of the actual chamber of the place where the reactor should be in, like in the future, so, which is the actually the same exact like room like was the reactor number 4 that was exploded. And yeah, it was quite the journey, but the impulse response for that that one was huge. There's like maybe 6 seconds of the tail inside. Just imagine huge, huge stadium. It sounds like this concrete stadium. Yeah. And one of the extremes as well is a water cooling tower, which is actually, yeah. So reactor number 5 and 6 is just, you know, the base level, just only built. The reactor number 5 plus 75% done. They are like 500 meters from the explosion, reactor number 4. So that close. And the water cooling tower is maybe 1 kilometer from that place. And the water cooling tower is amazing. It was not finished. It was done like maybe 75 meters tall, and inside is almost nothing, just concrete structures. But the echo, it's so beautiful. It's something that you cannot, I thought that you cannot emulate in any way at all. I even did a video on YouTube. It's like short video, like 3 minutes. I played the Hulusi inside that water cooling tower live.
Wow.
Thank you.
what are you doing with those files after the recordings? The library contains the special effects called convolution reverb. And you feed that impulse response to that effect, and it's emulating the environment from that actual sample. So anything you will play through that effect will sound like it was played in this environment.
Wow. That's like mind-blowing.
Yeah. So when you're playing the pianos from that Pripyat Pianos library, you're just playing inside the actual apartment, you're playing from inside the water cooling tower, you're playing inside the reactor chamber, you're playing in, you know, in the music school in Pripyat, you're playing in the actual center square of the city. There's a lot of places that sounds nice. And yeah, so that was an idea. I thought that making some fancy presets, it's okay. But to those who will enjoy this library, they probably, for example, from the US, UK, there's a lot of people that not seen it in live. They have, and right now they have no ability to actually go inside the building and play the pianos that left. They're still there. They have no way to do that because that's illegal right now. If someone will see that you're doing this, the guide from the tour company that will go with you, they will have a fine for that.
It's just remarkable that you created this audio record of a moment in time when you could get in and
snapshot.
Yeah, for sure. Well, one thing that is fascinating is that you can kind of spool back time with the pianos to 1986 so that they sound as if the way that they did before the explosion. How did you do that?
So the age knob, which is called in the UI, all the pianos that I found had the strings that actually sounds almost perfect, some of them. So I recorded, because I recorded all of them, I make this special transition effect because the library is multi-layered. So those strings that sound in the most clean way, I set it to this inside the script as 1986, and then overlaid the strings that was sounding the same one, but from different pianos that sound harsh and old. I overlaid them, and you have the ability to just buy one knob going up or down in years. So you can just adding more that detuned, destroyed sound, or you're going back and you're still hearing the same pianos, still from the city, from the Pripyat, but the source was much, much more cleaner than the rest of the layers inside the library. Yeah.
Well, it gives
it, if this makes sense.
Yeah. It does. And what I'm imagining is it gives someone who wants to use these samples a lot of flexibility, because if they don't want the really harsh, ruined sound of the pianos the way they were when you recorded them, you can kind of, you know, sort of go back just a little bit, and then they sound a little bit newer, a little bit better taken care of, and not quite so abandoned. And what kind of safety precautions did you guys have to take so that you don't glow in the dark now?
The usual stuff. You have to wear full clothes. No body parts should be, you know, exposed except the hands and face. So I had the special boots that was I will now wearing everywhere else except the Chernobyl exclusion zone, as well as the, you know, pants and other clothing on me. So, and the, for example, the recording equipment, microphones was covered with the dead cat thing, which was thrown away from the wild because I don't want to bring the radioactive dust in my apartment, for example, because the city is mostly clean. It's crystal clear air. It smells like in the forest. It's amazing. But because we're doing a lot of events in the city, like for example, we're doing events at night, and from April 25 to 26, at exact moment of the explosion happened, we fire up the candles That's an official event at night in the Pripyat. We're doing it from 2018. Yeah, we're doing it there. And because you, in the night, you have those, you know, flashlights, because there's no electricity. We're using the external power, like the generators and whatnot. You see in this beam of light how many dust in the air that you actually can't see in a day. So all of this dust can carry the radioactive particle, and you can breathe in. So we'll go on the your boots on any stuff. So basic things is just not drink any water on outside. You have to have a spare clothes. You walk in the safe routes only. Or if you don't, you're doing it quick, and you have to have the dosimeter with you, radiometer, which is a special device. So we measure it. But in the end of the day, we measure the levels, and basically from one full day in Chernobyl exclusion zone, you're getting the levels of radiation like 3 or 4 days in Clean City, but you're getting it for 7-8 hours. So the day in Chernobyl exclusion zone is like 7 hours, maybe 8 hours, but you have to consider that in the winter, the day is shorter, and you have to left Chernobyl exclusion zone before the dark, which is 4 p.m. And you can enter from the 8 or 9 a.m. So like short day. In the summer, you can be there like till the 8 or something like that, which is great. But it's horrible in there. In the summer, it's much, much worse, because you still have to have a cloth over all over you. The summers in Ukraine is the last like 10 years. It's insanely hot in there. You have ton of mosquitoes, and you're just sweating all over the place. Does it just, you know, you have a huge, insane amount of light in the summer, but you can't handle it. Which is why I have to, you know, reduce the amount of the visits in the zone. But, you know, at this moment, I can say that I visited the Chernobyl exclusion zone like more than 100 times.
Wow. Did you feel like there was a time limit, like the clock was ticking from the moment you got there? And would you have to be really aware of how many hours you spent in there in any given time?
Yeah. You're just watching, you're just constantly checking your watch and thinking, okay, I did. At some points, you can, you know, wandering around for 2-3 hours on the foot and didn't record like anything, which is like useless. You're thinking, okay, I have like few hours left. Yeah. What I gonna do now? So, yeah.
Wow. Well, are there any pianos that kind of stand out in your memory, that either they were in kind of a surprising place or surprisingly good shape considering what they'd been through?
Yeah. Yeah. Mostly most amazing emotions. I can, you know, there's some pianos that just look beautiful or amazing. For example, the Pripyat have the music school, and there's grand piano that's standing there. And in that huge room auditorium, basically, and it's just destroyed. I even found the name of the actual grand piano, but I need to find the photo. There's actually like small plate that's saying what it is. As I remember correctly, it's German one. Yeah, but it's still there, and it's just a lot of. If you Google the Pripyat like piano words, you will find this was most of the famous picture, that's that grand piano. And all of the cities, mostly upright piano. Some of them was amazingly in good shape. You have all the keys. They were not all playable, because, you know, the mechanics are just dumped and dead. But visually, it's looking almost intact. So that's just fascinating for me. When I saw those pianos, I like, okay, because for example, when the day is off, you see, okay, I have like 2 maybe hours. I know I will not record anything today, but I still gonna go and look and just note the places. Maybe I will found some pianos, and in the end of like day like this, you just found something. It was amazing. And the next thing you're doing it, okay, I'm making the photos and scheduling the next visit to the zone, so I can go exactly this place. I don't have to look at it, searching anything. I just know it's there. Record them. Yeah. There was sad moments. For example, after the HBO show went live, there was insane spike in visits to the zone, as well as stalkers, which doing it legally. And in 2019, there was a video on the Instagram where those dudes with the happy screams just thrown off one of the pianos that I recorded from the 9th floor, just out of the window.
Oh.
Yeah. So one of the pianos is not like there anymore, but I recorded it.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, that's heartbreaking. Yeah, I'm sure. Because the thing that I've always found, I mean, I've played the piano for years and years and years, and each one of them has its own personality. So yeah. I don't know. Did you feel after a while that they were like friends, or did you want to like befriend them, or at least give them a chance to sort of reveal their character?
Yeah, because any piano that I found and they actually had the keyboard was recorded, because you don't, you know, it's not usable to having only these strings on the harp inside the piano, because you need a proper way to hit them. So, yeah, that was the piano that I had the mechanics on them, the keyboard. And when you saw those moments, there's actually pure rage inside you, because you can't do anything about it. Because you just saw it on the Instagram, like Instagram stories. I had that video somewhere. Probably I saved it.
Just as a reminder of, I don't know.
Well, it was actually one of the points to show off the Chernobyl Exclusion Zone administration. Because we have to do something about the illegal visits to the zone. Because mostly they're doing bad things to the city. They open the windows. The more windows are open inside the buildings in the winter, more the snow coming in, which is more water. And we have like minus 20, minus 25 in the winter. So the ice just build up, cracking all the concrete. And for example, the famous Hotel Policia that is in the center of the city will not survive maybe this year. Because the top floor where I recorded the impulse response is actually collapsed almost. So there is a tiny moment where that iconic silhouette will be gone, which is basically in the center of the city, and which is a shame. But no, actually, that place is forbidden to visit right now, because it can collapse like any second on your head. And I have the impulse response for that exact place, which is great.
Yeah.
So I saved the sound, snapshot from that place. And which is funny. At some point, I got a lot of emails from the sound designers and the music composer that said, like, okay, pre-pit piano was great, but those impulse responses, those are nice. Can you sell them, just independently? And I think, like, I can, but I have no idea how to market them properly, how to sell them, how to anything with them. But there's more use to them, because you can play anything through those impulse responses. They will sound like inside the city.
Yeah. Wow. That's just, it's such an amazing, just, like we said, it's a kind of a snapshot of a moment in time. And yeah. I'm wondering what this project means to you. You've given years and years of your life to create it. So what does it mean to you now?
I just, this place is beautiful. And as beautiful as it is, I know the events are horrible, and we can do anything about it. you just have to work what you have. And the main idea was to bring those pianos a chance to be heard again, because if they a musical instrument they designed, they built to be, you know, listened to. The greatest way is just creating the library and giving from the greatest composers like Kenan Zur, for example, just, you know, making his own mind, his melodies through those pianos. And then that was actually my main force that just, you know, in the background, I have to do this, I have to finish it. So the library was almost done in 2018, but was hard time to finish it, but I that year I had like maybe 15 visits to the zone.
Wow.
Alone, but for a different reason. I did it for the computer game. I recreated the one of the places inside the Chernobyl exclusion zone, and yeah.
So now that the pianos are out there and we can experience it, what are you working on now?
One of the projects that was going, you know, head to head with the Pripyat pianos in the background, it's called Chernobyl Drums. It's mostly rhythmic sound library. It's designed to be used in the sort of just rhythmic way, making, you know, just drums basically, and the drones. Sound of the drones. One of the huge and amazing things in Chernobyl exclusion zone is actually a Russian woodpecker thing. That's huge antenna. And it's so big. It's like almost 700 meters long and 120 meters tall metal structure. It sounds so creepy. And I think, you know, the way to excite that huge thing to make a great sound. So idea was to bring some vibrating, like a huge cello bow thing, and try to just vibrate it, because it looks like an amazingly huge harp. And this is just one of the ideas, because there's a lot of metal things in Chernobyl Exclusion Zone that sounds like a drum, like a storm drum. Like, it's, you know, they sound massive. So why don't we have not only the pianos, but we will have a full suite to create the actual music with it. Not only pianos, but drums, and maybe more. So that's one of the ideas, yeah, to have project number two.
Wow, that's so cool. And that just, I don't know, it just, when I hear about stuff like that, I think, wow, sound designers just have the best job of all, because you get to just go in there and experiment with sound and create these sounds from kind of everyday things, but you have such a really unique idea of how to make these sounds. And so it sounds really cool.
thank you. I just remembered that I visited the zone like a year ago, and was a one particular visit that was a distant village. Not really seen by the tourists. It's just in the distant place. And that village actually looks sort of intact. There's even the church inside it. But there's a lot of concrete buildings that was used to just agriculture purposes. And they have like huge, huge doors, hangar doors. And one of the doors, I just opened slowly and heard the amazing squeak that I ever heard. It was so tonal, so beautiful. It even like played a melody to me. So imagine there's a lot of stuff like that in Chernobyl drums. There's basically the actual environment that is reacting to hitting, moving, touching things. And it's a dynamic, and probably will gonna be as well in contact sampler. It will be available with the audio files, the open way, clean way, so you can throw it and sign the any DAW. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, well, basically, it sounds like you've turned the exclusion zone into a musical instrument.
Yeah, I'm trying to, because that place, I'm not the kind of person who's saying that the nuclear energy is bad. It's not that, because we have increasing amount of the electric vehicles going in forward, and what are we going to use to charge them? So the most clean energy actually is the nuclear one. Is actually the most green one, because there's not of producing heat because of the nuclear particles hitting each other. So there's no like smoke or anything, but we have to remember at what costs it happened. Those advancements, those mistakes were learned through the hard way. So I just want those places to be lived in a sonic way, because if nobody will live there for like maybe 120,000 years like 20-25,000 years, it will be inhabitable because of plutonium mostly. But you can experience it. You can express yourself through this place.
Oh, that's fantastic. Wow. That's just, it's, oh my God, it's been so much fun to talk with you.
Yeah, thank you.